Federal tax breaks are proposed for Florida's Space Coast. Cessna furloughs 75 more workers. And the airlines have found yet another fee opportunity. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 20th, 2010. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson of Florida is the latest federal lawmaker to propose favoring aerospace business in his own state at the expense of your state. Nelson's office says the Commercial Space Jobs and Investment Act would allow space-related businesses situated around places like Kennedy Space Center to qualify for major tax breaks and other incentives. The proposal would create up to 5 regional business enterprise zones around the country as magnets for commercial space ventures, essentially allowing areas which have benefited from big NASA budgets in the past to retain their advantage over the rest of the country. As might be expected, the existing Florida aerospace community is delighted. Space Florida President Frank DiBello beams, quote, "This bill will stimulate the commercial space industry to create jobs in our state at a time when we need it most," unquote. Of all the cities in which aerospace and defense manufacturing occurs, Wichita, Kansas, the home of Cessna, Hawker Beechcraft, and Bombardier Learjet, is number one, according to Business Facilities magazine. Its annual ranking of metro areas says Wichita boasts one of the most extensive aerospace labor pools in the world and has the supplier network to match. The magazine does warn that both Huntsville, Alabama, and Charleston, South Carolina are nipping at Wichita's heels in that category. Cessna has notified about 75 workers at its Independence, Kansas plant that they'll be laid off in 60 days. The workforce reduction is part of a previously announced plan in Cessna's Citation Mustang program. Mustang sales have been slow, and Cessna says it had supplier issues which halted deliveries of the jet in June. The Wichita Eagle reports that about 200 Cessna employees took 5 to 7 week furloughs because of the parts shortage. The Independence plant also builds the 172, 182, and 206 piston singles. Those programs for now appear to be unaffected by the layoffs. Paying an airliner extra to sit up front is nothing new, but American Airlines is going to start charging extra for the seats in the first few rows of coach. KXAS-TV in Dallas reports the reserved seats will only be sold through the self-service check-in kiosks at the airport. Passengers who pay the extra $19 to $39 for express seating will also be allowed to board in the first group of passengers. But you do not get your own bathroom, free drinks, wider seats, and they don't even pull a curtain to keep the riffraff out. You can still pick a seat toward the back at no charge. Up next on ANN, a controversial decision to take off brings a lawsuit. NBAA adds to its webinar lineup. And Husky owners have a new propeller option. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD Nexrad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And, of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 20th. I'm Paul Plack. The family of 31-year-old Andrew Ingram, who was among those killed when a Cessna 310 went down in a residential neighborhood in East Palo Alto, California, February 17th, has sued the estate of the pilot, who was also killed in the crash. The lawsuit claims 56-year-old Douglas Bourne showed negligence for originating the flight in foggy weather. It also names Air Unique, the company which owned the airplane. Bourne allegedly had not flown the 310 for 18 months before attempting the flight, which struck power lines, then went down in a residential neighborhood moments after departure. Ingram's attorneys point to communications between Bourne and ATC, in which Bourne is told twice that he is not cleared for takeoff due to the weather. Bourne was told the tower could not see the runway in the fog, and that any departure was, quote, at your own risk, unquote. Bourne reportedly replied, quote, okay, 25 Juliet rolling, unquote. All three of the men on the plane were employees of Tesla Motors, traveling from Palo Alto to Hawthorne, California, where the company does some design work. The suit was filed on Tuesday and does not specify a dollar amount. The National Business Aviation Association announced this week it's expanded its offerings of live interactive business aviation webinars due to robust participation and growing popularity. In its Maintenance and Technical Issues series, NBAA will offer a webinar titled Icing and Winter Operations, Review the Essentials, that's coming up on September 9th. Other upcoming titles include Six Steps to a Seamless Aircraft Transaction, Election 2010 Preview, Race for Control of Congress, and in a series on career and leadership development, Family Assistance Response After an Incident or Accident, that's this coming Thursday. NBAA's on-demand courses are available in two formats, either online as a pay-per-view product or via video CD-ROM. Get more details in the text version of the story, dated August 19th, at aero-news.net. Flight Resource of Bloomer, Wisconsin, says the FAA has approved its STC to install the German-designed three-blade MT composite propeller on the Aviat Husky. The company says the upgrade provides 17 pounds of weight savings, turbine-like smoothness, reduced noise inside and out, and improvements in both climb and cruise performance. Flight Resource founding partner and technical specialist Larry Schlesinger owns a Husky. Quote, I'm always looking for ways to get the most performance out of my planes. This upgrade hits all marks and it looks good on this airplane. Unquote. The MT Composite Props Scimitar blades incorporate a stainless steel leading edge on high thrust, precision CNC milled blades with no life limits. Flight Resource says the STC also eliminates the restricted RPM range of metal props. Still ahead, Kevin O'Keefe is out of the hospital. The X-2 is fast, but is it a helicopter? And this bird strike threat might show up on radar. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 20th. I'm Paul Plack. Another survivor of last week's crash of a de Havilland Otter in Alaska has been released from the hospital. Kevin O'Keefe, the son of former NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe, who was also on the plane, was released from Providence Alaska Medical Center on Tuesday night. Sean remains in the hospital. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that Kevin is thankful for the outpouring of support following the accident. Another passenger, lobbyist Jim Morhard, also remains in the hospital. As the Sikorsky X-2 technology demonstrator breaks helicopter speed records on its way to the stated goal of 250 knots, bickering has broken out in the community about whether the X-2 is even a helicopter at all. It uses coaxial rotors for lift, but a pusher prop for forward thrust. The debate is highlighting the differing definitions of helicopter that are used around the world. Elfin Aparis, who is the editor of Helicopter International magazine in Great Britain and the honorary president of the Rotorcraft Committee of FAI, the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, they're the official keepers of international aviation records, tells WTXX-TV in Hartford, Connecticut that the X-2 is a compound aircraft, not a true helicopter, because it derives some of its thrust from a pusher propeller driven by the same engine as the main rotors. Because of that, he says, the speed record set by a modified version of Westland's Lynx helicopter in 1986 should stand. Augusta Westland, not surprisingly, says, hear, hear. Sikorsky spokeswoman Marianne Heffernan responds, quote, we stand by our claims, unquote. Here's where it gets interesting. The FAI's own definition of a helicopter is a rotorcraft which, quote, in flight derives substantially the whole of its lift from a power-driven rotor system whose axis is fixed and substantially perpendicular to the longitudinal axis of the rotorcraft, unquote. It says nothing about how thrust is produced, so the X-2 absolutely qualifies as a helicopter under FAI's own criteria. But ironically, here in the U.S., where the X-2 was born and lives, the regulatory definition of a helicopter found in FAR 1.1 is a rotorcraft which, quote, for its horizontal motion, depends principally on its engine-driven rotors, unquote. And the FAA's definition of propeller makes it clear that a propeller is not considered a rotor. So the X-2 in the U.S., legally, is not a helicopter. But it gets even grayer. The first test flights of the X-2 were made without the pusher prop engaged, so it clearly can be flown as a pure helicopter by anybody's definition. Its airworthiness certificate is experimental, so the FAA didn't have to take a stand at the time it was issued, since that certificate is issued without category and class. There is an industry term, compound helicopter, which describes a helicopter augmented with a propeller for thrust, so that would seem to describe the X-2, but the FAI has no such separate published class, and neither does the FAA. Now, if the FAI was to change its official definition of helicopter to keep an American company from winning a record held for years by a European company, that would be disgraceful. And I've never really trusted the FAI. It was started in 1905 in Paris. I mean, come on. The French don't even have their own word for empennage. And finally today, here's a bird strike you don't want any part of. An endangered Ruppell's griffin vulture with a 10-foot wingspan went missing when it was caught by a gust of wind during a demonstration in Cumbernauld, Scotland. The World of Wings Center has been allowing the bird, which was brought to the UK as part of a breeding program from its native Africa, to fly free each day so members of the public can see her. The bird answers to the name of Gandalf, but I don't think you want to call her. World of Wings spokesman David Ritchie told the BBC, quote, she has no fear of humans, and she could give someone a very severe bite. Her beak is designed to tear flesh apart, unquote. The other problem is her size and service ceiling. Described as massive, the Ruppell's griffin vulture can fly as high as 36,000 feet. A spokesman at Cumbernauld Airport added that Gandalf is, quote, half the size of some of our small training aircraft, and it could take one of them, or even a helicopter, right out, unquote. There are an estimated 30,000 of the birds left in the world, so they're considered in danger. And until Gandalf is found, so is anything else that flies over Scotland. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Rick Wittridge of Advanced Rotor Designs tells us what it takes to make an old McCulloch drone engine run reliably. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.